All right, well, then to start with a prayer then.
All right, Lord, we thank you so much for this time, Lord. We ask that you would come and meet us here, Lord. Your word says that where two or three are gathered, you are in the midst. And so, Lord, we're asking you, we know confident that you are in our midst, and we ask for you to speak to us, Lord, individually as a group. And we receive, we're ready to receive, Lord, whatever you have to give to us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, last week we started Joshua, chapter one. And the whole purpose of this study is that we want to live the fullness of God's plan. God's plan to the Israelites was very clear when he spoke to Moses. I want to take you out of Egypt and I want to give you the promised land. I want to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. His, the same purpose, the same plan is for us. God is not just after giving us freedom from the enemy, the snares of the enemy, not just giving us freedom from sin. No, he wants to give us freedom from sin, freedom from the enemy, and also to give us that abundant life, the life that Jesus lived. A life that here he is. It was 33 years, three of them were in ministry, but here we are, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about it. Not just talking about it, we're talking about it, we're experiencing it, we're living it. We are living that fullness of everything that he said, you know. And that's the purpose of this whole study, that okay, it's God set us free, God delivered us from Egypt, the sea was split wide open, Moses did his part, and fortunately there was a lot of stubbornness, there was a lot of pride, there was a lot of sickness and illness, and I wish they had therapy back then, because a lot of the things that they learned in Egypt, a lot of the things that lived by and lived through, kind of affected them and lived with them. But you know what? God is so merciful and full of grace, and his mercies are new every day. He did not leave them. He still provided for them. He still was guiding them. He was still helping them. And his promises did not go anywhere. They're still valid until this day. Same with you and I, same with all of us. God set us free from sin. God gave us the cross. God delivered us. And you know, it takes us a while sometimes to get to the fullness of his promises. You know, when God says that I will give you self-control, when I'll give you holiness, when I'll give you honesty, when I give you courage, when I'll give you all the gifts and things that I have for you, sometimes it takes us a while wandering in the desert, wandering in the wilderness. Sometimes we are out of Egypt, but Egypt still not out of us, you know. And God is still merciful. There's a verse in Isaiah that I really like, that he does not get weary or he does not get tired until he creates or until he makes a crown of beauty. And that's what he does to every single one of us. His story is not done. I know his story is not done with me. Sometimes I feel like, why are you still around me? Because I don't deserve it, you know. And let me tell you, a lot of times I feel that way. Like, Lord, I'm still stubborn. I'm still wandering in the wilderness. I'm still not giving you everything, and I'm still not living. But you know what? He's so patient and he's so loving, and he does not give up. He does not give up. I probably give up, but he does not give up. And then we see in Joshua 1 that Moses died. And we're like, okay, well, that's not a good start to the book, you know. That's not where are we gonna go from here? But you know what? Maybe Moses is gone, but God is not. You know, maybe Moses, the leader of the people, is gone and he's no longer there, but God's word and God's promises are not gone. And you and I go through these seasons where we feel like this is not going to work, or this is not going to happen. The person we were looking up to, or the thing we were looking up to, or the group we were looking up to are gone. What are we going to do? You know, that's my opinion, that's your opinion, that's my vision, that's your vision. God's vision is that there is a Joshua. Joshua, if you look at it in the meaning of his name, very similar to the name of Jesus himself. You know, there is a Joshua, there is a Jesus. There is someone who can take us from where we are to God's full purpose in our life. So we talked about Joshua last, the beginning of Joshua. We talked about God three different times telling him, do not be scared, do not be afraid, be encouraged. I am going to be with you. I'm going to be with you when you're trying to learn my word. I'm going to be with you when I'm leading you. I'm going to be with you when you face the enemies. I'm going to be with you regardless of what you're doing. And we see that, you know, when we see that Joshua believed God's word, you know, he was very honest and he was very submissive and obedient to Moses, and he was one of the people that said, oh no, we can go and take that land. We can do this. And God here is rewarding him. Today we'll start with verse 10 and we're going to go to verse 18, hopefully. And this is the second part of the chapter. And, you know, I thought today, maybe we're going to get to the fighting. We're going to get to, like, you know, crossing the Jordan. We're going to get to, like, the good stuff, right? Because that's what we promised, Dina and I. But don't hold us into any promises. We learned that from now about 2 years of doing Bible study together. Don't hold us to any promises. I was really going to skip to chapter 2 today because I wanted to get to, like, Rahab and, like, you know, and Jericho and all the good stuff, because that's what we said. We said we're going to get into the battles, we're going to get into, like, you know, claiming the land and all of that. But it seems like God had a different plan. And today at 3:30 in the morning, while I woke up and I'm praying, I don't know if it was a prayer or it was a dream, I'm not sure, but I dreamt of this. Just kidding. No. Well, kind of dreamt of it. That was between awake and sleep. And I felt like the first battle that Joshua was facing was not the Jordan, was not the water of the Jordan, was not Jericho, was not the spies, was not any of that. The first battle, do you know what it is? It's the battle against Joshua. The battle against, oh, see, they agree. So I'm right.
You're
the
on
dream.
Track.
The dream was right. I had a dream. So that worked. So the first thing that, if I am Joshua, you know, I have some big shoes to fill, right? I have a big task to accomplish. I have someone, like, listen, when the previous boss was Moses, that's a tough task, right? I am always going to be insecure about it. I'm always going to compare myself. I'm always going to try to measure up. I'm always going to try to, you know, convince everyone that there's a new sheriff in town. I am going to probably, if I don't get that flesh under control, you know, I'm going to try everything that I can to prove to everyone that, hey, here I am. I'm just as good as Moses, and I'm going to do it through the flesh, you know. And I'm not just saying that it's just me. A lot of us can fall into that, you know, can fall into that comparison, can fall into, well, you know, it's my time now. It's my turn now. No, it's not your time. It's not Moses' time. It's no one's time. Just like that, the commander of God's army showed up. And when Joshua asked him, are you for us? Pastor Mike mentioned that last Sunday. You know, are you for us or are you against us? No, I'm not for you. I'm not against you. I am working for the Lord, for God himself. And this is what Joshua probably needed to get to. This is the place where, and we see him excelling in this, literally excelling in this. Mm-hmm. I have not seen someone with so much peace in his heart, regardless of what battles are coming against him, and regardless of what battles that were won by someone else in the past, because he understood that these battles that are coming, or the battles in the past, were all for the Lord, and all won for the Lord. So we'll start with verse 10, and it says, so Joshua ordered the officers of the people. Joshua went straight to something that worked in the past. So here it is. Joshua, the first thing that he had to do, are you going to implement your own system? Are you going to implement your own thing? No, I'm just going to go back to something that worked in the past. You know, this is one of those very small battles that we often overlook. Pastor Mike on Sunday mentioned the battle of AI, right? AI or I? I or AI, Allen Iverson, right? The battle of Allen Iverson, the battle of, they were like, what, 2,000 or 3,000 people? It was a very small army, right? And but because they didn't consult with God, they didn't go back to God. There is a sin already in the camp. They lost, you know. But other battles were, there was hundreds of thousands of people, but they consulted with God. God helped them and they won. This is one of those small battles where am I going to try to just prove myself and implement my own system, or I'm going to go to something that's already working. You know, there is absolutely nothing wrong with going to something that's already working. So Joshua used the officers and used the people who were in charge. If you go back to compare this to Exodus 5:6, and there is a blessing in this. When he goes to the officers and tell them, hey, go tell the people, we're about to go to the land, we're about to cross the Jordan, you're about to be the owners of those land. Listen, similar people, similar officers were used in the past in Exodus 5, when Moses went to get went to speak to Pharaoh. Pharaoh decided to be harder on the people, and in Exodus 5, it says that Pharaoh went to those officers and the taskmasters and told them to go and deliver horrible news to the people of God, telling them that your task will be the same, but you know what? We're going to add to them. Your goal or your quota is going to be the same, but we're going to add to your tasks. Those taskmasters back in the days were used in the wrong way. But now we see those officers, not taskmasters, those officers being used to deliver good news. And also in Exodus 18, we see that when Moses was judging the people of Israel, and then his father-in-law comes and he sees Moses and he hears about all the great things that God did for Moses and the people of Israel. But he sees that Moses is doing everything on his own. Then he gives them, why don't you just have, you know, why don't you divide them to like 1,000, to hundreds, and, you know, and 50s, and just have people in charge. This worked. See, Joshua went back to something that worked. Okay? I can't not implement or cannot emphasize on this enough. He saw that there was something that was working, and he decided to go back to it. But this was done by Moses, yeah, and it was a good idea. So why not doing that? You know, why not seeing that my brother and sister have gifts and have talents, why not using them? Mm. But you're in charge now, yeah, I'm in charge of this area. God entrusted me with this gift. God entrusted me with this task, but they're really good at what they're doing, so I'm going to keep using them. That was the first thing that Joshua did. See, many people.
I just want to say, in a book called Experiencing God, Henry Blackwell, some one of those. It's a great book, a great study. One of the core principles of this study is to find what God is doing around you and join it. That there are things that God might be doing in our midst. And sometimes we get so stuck in, like, here's something, God's calling me to do something. God's calling me to claim this particular thing. And I feel like that means I've got to recreate it. It's a brand new recipe. And so I've got to start from scratch. When really the truth might be that God is already working around us in something. And what God wants us to do is join it. Can you imagine Joshua just joined something that Moses has already done? Joshua, the great leader, Joshua, who led the people of God into the promised land, just said, here's something that is working. Let's just join in that. So for me, that really relieves the burden, because sometimes, I mean, look, I love cooking. It's like one of my favorite things to do. Very, very few times will I say, I had this great dish at a restaurant. Let me just go home and try to figure it out on my own. I never do that. That's a recipe for disaster. I get online and see if there's already a recipe there, maybe something I can tweak here and there, but I need to understand the foundation of something that's already working and then me joining in that thing. And in this case, this is what we see Joshua doing.
So that's the first thing. The second thing he did, he set up realistic goals. Okay, he said, go through the camp and tell the people, Get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possessions of the land the Lord your God is giving for your own. Get your provisions ready. Prepare the things that you have in your hand and let God do the rest. You know, a lot of times we try to over spiritualize things where we throw everything to God, right? You know, there's a miracle in the Bible about Jesus when him and Peter were about to go into the temple and they asked them for the admission or for the taxes. And then Jesus said, you know, Jesus said to Peter, go to the lake or go to the sea, cast the net or Samara, what's that?
I don't know.
Okay, the net, and then then a fish will come out. Yeah, and a fish will come out, and you open its mouth, and you will find the money, you know, the coins. And those coins, I'm like, Lord, if you're going to have a fish that will have the coin, and then that fish will come directly to people, why don't you just, like, snap your finger, get the coins, but God wants us to be involved. There are things that and things that you and I can do. Fishing was very similar to Peter. Peter knows how to fish, you know? Things that God wants us to be involved in. Go get your provisions ready. Go get your things, whatever it is that you have, okay? Go get it ready. Go collect all the pots from the neighbors. You can do that. You know, that's something that you can do. You can knock on the neighbor's door and say, I need to borrow this from you. You can do that part. Here is the part you cannot do, that the oil will not run out. That's God's part. You know, you can go for 3 days to get your stuff ready, to get your heart prepared. You and I can get up in the morning and decide, I'm going to pray right now. You and I can decide that this group of people is not good enough for me. It's not good for me, and it's not good for my spiritual health. You and I can decide that this place or this meal or this thing is not good for me and I'm going to avoid it. That's preparing your provisions. Yes. That's doing what you can do and what's in your hand to do and let God do the rest. Three times is enough time for everyone to get ready. And the number three is very significant in the Bible, and I will let you study that because I need to go a little bit faster. But the number three is very significant. Remember, Pharaoh didn't want them, when they asked to go for a three-day break, you know, to go worship, and God did not want to do it. 3 days is the day that refers to the resurrection. Three is a very, very, very significant number, and please study it in the Word of God. And then you will cross the Jordan. He is speaking in faith, even though he knows that the Jordan is full, even though he knows that the Jordan cannot be crossed to my physical eyes, to your physical eyes, the Jordan cannot be crossed at that time. But God told him that the Jordan will be crossed. Okay? God told him, you will cross. That means it will be crossed. Mm-hmm. Okay? Water could be raging. Storms could be. The Jordan will be crossed. You do your part. You go prepare your provisions. You go, you prepare stuff. You go get your backpack. You go get your stuff. Okay? And we will cross to the other side. I don't know what your provision is. I don't know what it is that God is pointing to. You know, I don't know what it is. All I know is that when God says that I will do you do your part and I will take care of the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? God's promises here, it's so amazing because God's promises did not change. God, go and you will take possessions of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. I kind of made a decision that every week of this study, I'm going to remind you that at the end of this year, you're going to remember that we began the year with these promises, that at the end of the year, we will all look back and say, we got a hold of God's promises this mm-hmm. year. We got a hold in this season. We got a hold of the things that God told us. If you're lacking self-control, you know, you will look back at the end of this year and say, you know what? I'm feeling better about this area in my life. If you're lacking wisdom, you will look back and say, I'm feeling that God changed something in me this year. If you're lacking whatever it is, joy or peace or the ability to worship and see God during the storms, if this is the thing that you've been really struggling with, if you're lacking seeing beyond the current circumstances, this is something that God promised. We're going to look back at the end of the season, at the end of the study, or the end of the year, and we're going to say, we got this.
Amen.
And let me tell you, we're going to remind you. And if we don't, please remind us that this is the year. We're going to look back and say, you know what, Lord? We prayed for this in the beginning of the year, and we have it right now.
Amen. Okay, so here, as we're calling this the Battle of Joshua, we've seen that he, number one, did not reinvent the wheel, that he joined something that God was already doing, used those officers. Number two, as Assam just talked about, he was setting realistic goals for the people of God that they can be involved in. So setting realistic goals is very important. And then number three, he didn't do it by himself. Look at verse 12. It says, but to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh. These were people that came to Joshua and were speaking to him about what they saw based on the vision that he had just given them. The vision that he had just given them was, hey, we're about to cross the Jordan. And here they were speaking to the vision, to the promise that Joshua received. And this is just a very real reminder for all of us that we cannot walk this walk alone. We are not going to walk and claim the promises of God isolated. It just doesn't happen. It's just not the way. It's not the MO of God. It's not the way he does things. He doesn't do things with people isolated on a little island. It's important to have people in our lives. I mean, we've talked about this a lot before. Important to have someone you're accountable to, or somebody maybe who's mentoring you, or maybe somebody that's just praying for you on a regular basis. These are critical components to having a healthy walk towards the promise, to winning the battle. The battle of Joshua was won because of these things, because he decided he was not going to be alone. And, you know, when you think about sort of why, Lord, why do you have us walk with other people? You know, we come, Assam and I, and Albert and Dalia, come from a culture that's very private in a way. Isn't private and is private. Do you know what I mean by that? So isn't private in that there's sort of this community feeling about what you do and who you are, and people are there all the time. But in terms of like truly knowing, truly, have you ever heard the term that there's a difference between being alone and being lonely? Sometimes I feel like our culture is like they're experts at this. Nobody's ever alone, but you can feel really lonely because there's this sense of not being able to communicate what your struggles really are. And growing up, that was communicated over and over in my household, where it was like, what happens between these four walls, they never ever leave these four walls. And it was like, I could cut off somebody's hand, but I better not tell them about something that's going wrong in our house. And so there was always this feeling for me growing up that I couldn't be transparent with the things that I was struggling with, because somehow that would bring shame to me, shame to my family, shame. Now, I'm not saying, you know, blast everything, you know, on Instagram, but there is a reality to need people to stand with us, to fight with us, to pray with us. We had a pastor who used to say, let's pray for those who can't pray. It's one of my favorite things to hear, you know, because I feel like a lot of times people need a kind of prayer, and they just don't know what to pray for themselves, because you're so in a situation. You almost don't know. But if you can share it with someone else, sometimes the Holy Spirit gives them words for you, gives them insight for you, gives them, you know, the road to the roadmap to hope that Jesus has for you oftentimes will come through other people. Here, these people decided they were going to stand with Joshua, and we're going to see later on what Joshua really illustrates here, winning the battle of self. He illustrates it very well here in this chapter. And one of the key components of doing that, he didn't keep it to himself. He didn't say, yeah, God told me, Jesus, you know, the Lord told me we're going to do this. Now let's just do it. No, he brought people in, and then those people felt like they could speak back into what Joshua was saying into his life.
And, you know, it's amazing here. So so this is the part that we can't do it by ourselves. And then he makes sure that when they fight, we're going to fight as a whole body. Okay. The fight is not going to be split. He tells them, but also those 2.5 tribes are going to, their land was the east side of the Jordan, right? But he tells them, but all your fighting men, get all your fighting men ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord give them rest, as he has done for you. And until they too have taken possessions of the land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward sunrise. Here's the thing. We might have a different place in the kingdom. Some of us might be in the east. Some of us might be in the west. But here it is. It's one kingdom. You know, when God said, I am promising that my people, and when he said my people, he meant all 12 tribes. When he said my people, he meant all of us. You know, all of us are to inherit the promises of God. You know, some of us could be pastors, some of us could be worship leaders, some of us could be whatever it is that our job in the Word of God is. He promised that to all of us. He promised his victories to all of us. We could be different. That's completely okay. We could be in Norwalk or Los Angeles or in Egypt or in Africa or in China or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it's one church and one body. And we need to learn how to fight these fights as one body, as one united body. We might have different gifts and talents, but it's all going for one purpose. You know, your gift is to preach. Your gift is to sing. Your gift is to give a word of encouragement. Your gift is to, you know, to text people and pray for them. Like, I'm you know, not glad. I was about to say I'm glad Fawaz is not here, but no, I'm not glad that Fawaz is not here. But so many times I get text messages with songs or verses from Fawaz that comes right on time. You have no idea. Okay, I, before God, you have no idea how many times I would receive a verse or I receive a song from him or from Pastor Al or from Philip or someone that comes to me right on time while I'm thinking about that specific thing or while I'm struggling with this thing or while I'm having this trouble at work or whatever it is, and a verse comes. You know, that's someone, you know, that decided to cross to my battle and give me that word of encouragement. That's someone who decided to sing me that song that will refresh my soul. That's crossing and fighting my fight. That's carrying that burden with me. We might have different ways of working, and that's fine. Some of us are loud and mumble so much. Some of us are very articulate, you know, and good at what, like, you enjoy listening to them. You know, but at the end of the day, it's one body. One of us have different positions, different functions, different whatever, but at the end of the day, we're working towards one goal. Reminder, it's a full circle here of blessings. When God told Abraham, I'm going to bless you, he didn't tell him, I'm just going to bless you so you can be blessed. No, I'm going to bless you and you will be a blessing. You know, you will be a blessing. So Joshua, he was telling them, he's reminding them, hey, God did great things in your life. God gave you his promises, you know. So instead of resting and instead of just taking the day off, your brothers and sisters are still struggling. They have still not received the fullness of God's work, you know, and that's something you need to work for. One of our visions this year, one of the things that one of the goals that we put together in the beginning of the year, that we would struggle with people, that we would actually struggle with people, that we would go and fight others' fights, that we would put our place, ourselves in people's place and take that fight with them. See, they were already settled. Those 2.5 tribes, they were already settled. They're good. But you know what? Joshua went to them and said, it's time for you to step up and to help your brothers and sisters. This is one of our battles, you know, that our battle is not just about you or me. It's not just about us individually. We need to fight for the whole body. Because when we become so focused on ourselves, we become so focused on ourselves.
Yeah.
The most intelligent comment I made today. When we become focused on ourselves, we become focused on ourselves. Really? And are we fighting for just ourselves? No, we're fighting for the kingdom. We become so self-centered. We become, it's all about me, 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 you know? But this is not what happened here. You have strong men. You have fighting men. Guess what? You have strength. You are a fighter. I am a fighter. I know I am. And I know you are. And your brother on the other end needs your help.
Amen.
Your sister on the other end needs your help. So it's time to go ahead and extend the hand until everyone is enjoying the promises
Amen.
Of God.
Amen. And then finally here in the Battle of Joshua, we see a key was humility. In verse 16, it says, Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, we will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Joshua's humility, his ability to call on the things that Moses previously had, his willingness to listen to his fellow man, his desire to not do it alone, his clarity in expressing the vision in a realistic way, and in also fighting as a whole body.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the battles that Joshua overcame, the hurdles that he overcame. Showed so much humility.
Mm-hmm.
It really did, required a lot of humility. This is someone that now, imagine the president of a nation. I mean, that's what he became.
Mm-hmm.
He became the president of all of Israel. As he's leading them into battle, he had so much humility in the process that it created an attitude of them, a response in them of nothing but loyalty and love and dedication. The attitude of humility is foundational
yeah.
in the battle against ourselves, because we are narcissists most of the time. We're very self-centered. It's just our you know, nature. It's our sin nature that's in us. It wants to focus on me, 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 me. And when something's going bad in my life, it's like, how could anybody else be happy? Or if something's good in my life, how could anybody else be sad? And it becomes very inwardly, we can easily become very inwardly focused. But Joshua here is so outwardly focused, it's amazing that what it prompts is vision in the people. What it prompts is people taking up that very thing that God has given Joshua and saying, yeah, because of the way this man has communicated his humility, we are with you no matter what. We're with you just like we were with Moses. Now, this is a tough thing to do, Joshua's humility. I mean,
yeah.
Think about it. He was in charge of finally seeing the people of God enter the promise that they were called to enter into. And he comes after a leader who's a wonderful leader. But did Moses succeed in entering the promised land? No. So his previous leader failed in the purpose, the big purpose, of course, not other purposes, but in the big purpose that God had given them. He had given them the promised land and he wanted them to do it. The people were so stubborn and it didn't work out. Moses died and never entered the promised land. And so the natural thing maybe to do, you know, we see leadership changes here all the time in this country. And what's the natural thing to do? In my first 100 days, I'm going to change everything. In my first 100 days, watch what I do to this nation. And it's like, you know, the clock is ticking, 100 days, right? That's not what Joshua did at all. That's not what Joshua did at all. It's completely different. Isn't it so interesting how we have redefined true great leadership? Mm. Joshua did not reinvent the wheel. Joshua made a decision. He wasn't going to do anything on his own. He set realistic expectations, realistic goals. He fought for the whole body and he was humble. And based on those five things, we believe, I'm sure there's more, but we believe that's how Joshua overcame the Battle of Joshua.
And he was ready to step to that next step.
Yes.
You know, so our prayers today that we would all examine our heart, you know, our hearts, because I know we're going to make it. I know this season is going to be different. I'm telling you this right now. If you're watching this on a recording on YouTube or on the website, I'm telling you this right now, this season is going to be different. God will deliver, you know, and God not just will deliver, God will deliver and you will grab a hold of the promises of God. Whatever it is that you're lagging, whatever it is that's missing from your life and my life, God will give it to us this year, you know. But here it is. We need to start with those very small little things, you know. We need to start. If I know Pastor Mike is good at words of wisdom, you know what? I need to hang out with Pastor Mike. If I know Pastor Al is really good at self-control and organization and, counting the cost and doing all of these things that like, you know, that I want to and my brain works that way, I need to go learn from him. You know, I need to go see how my brother and sister were able to overcome some of my struggles. Okay, and learn from them and see what they did right. And then I need to repeat that. Set realistic goals for myself. You know, there is nothing wrong with setting goals. Okay, as long as it's according to God's will and make them realistic, you know, and then just ask for help from those around me. Ask for help. You know, if I'm struggling, my brother and sister, God put you in my life and God put me in your life for a specific reason, for a season, like for a reason like this or for that occasion. God gave you that position. Mm-hmm. You know, remember those words were said by Mordecai to Queen Esther? For that purpose, God has given you this. And you know what? You can help. And then fight as a whole body. We're not. I know that sometimes you feel like, oh, well, I'm good in this area. Well, no, you're not that good. You know why? Because your brother is still struggling. Because your sister is still struggling. This will really take some prayers. This will really, really take some prayers and brokenness before God. And really being empty ourselves of who we are and ourselves and just focus on God and see through his eyes, because he's looking at his children who are struggling. And then finally, as Dina said, it takes humility. We need to humble ourselves before God and before each other. Yeah. Amen. And that's what we have for today.
So with that, let's open up the floor, talk about the Battle of Joshua.
I just want to echo what you guys said earlier, because to me, I always get encouraged in the Word of God or when I hear somebody share a story about how you're not alone and you're part of a family and you're part of a team and you're part of a, you know, something bigger than just you. I always get encouraged, but it's also a reminder that we just heard that, yes, you're part, you're not alone, but also that same family that you're called to, you're there for them as well, to pray for them. And you're doing this together. You're doing life together. So, you know, they're there for you, but just a reminder that you're also there for them.
Yeah. That's good. Yep. Yeah. There are roles on both sides of that. Exactly. Great. Thanks, Pastor Mike.
You know, what caught my attention as I was reading this chapter earlier was that God was saying to him, I've given you the land. And the way that he said it was a past tense. It wasn't like, okay, yeah, I'm going to give you the land.
Right.
He says, I've already given you the land.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a done deal. Just continue walking it out the way that I've told you to walk it out, and you're going to see the victory. And they did in the first episode.
Yeah, exactly. It's about you claiming it.
It's about you claiming it and walking it out. So I guess my prayer and my prayer for us also is that God will give us the wisdom to know exactly what he would have us to do so that we can see what he's already given to us.
Amen. That's so good. Yeah.
It's very good.
It's great.
And I want those notes, by the way. So send me the notes.
Sending them right now.
Because if I wait 5 minutes.
That's right. We'll forget.
You know. Hey, I'm being humble, sharing my weaknesses.
Okay, well, anything else? I know we're a small group today, so maybe not as much chatting, but okay.
Just one last thing, because I've kind of been meditating on the same thing this past couple of days, and I feel like his word is what we need to be standing on to help us to get to the promised land. So, you know, Al mentioned how he's already given us the land, so we need to act it out as if it is done, right? And for me, the way to do that is to actually not only believe the word, not only believe the promise, but to live out the promise.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, I'm not just saying, God, give me, but God, thank you for. And living it as if it was already done. And the only way we can do that is to hold on to his promises in the process. So that's
Amen. Amen. That's great. Okay, well, with that, Pastor Mike, would you mind praying for us? Next week we'll enter into the actual battles here and events leading into the promised land. And we're looking forward to a long season of talking about this. That we can promise you.
Amen. Amen. Well, Lord, we give you honor and glory. We thank you, Lord. We thank you always, Lord. Father, may our hearts always be grateful to you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for your word speaks to us, Lord, and enlightens us, Father God. It leads us to your truth. It opens our eyes, Father God. Father God, opens our ears, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your revelation. We thank you, Lord, for the promises, Lord, those that you have already given us, Lord. Give us the wisdom, Lord. Father God, open our eyes to see, Lord, that we may walk in it, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the family that you have called us to, Lord, those that are there for us to help us out, Lord, and those that you put in our life to help out, Lord Jesus. Father God, always, Lord, with wisdom, Lord, with peace, with humility, Lord, walking to honor and glorify you, Lord Jesus. Praising you always, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And just as we learn, Father God, the wisdom, Lord, of these men of God that walked in, Lord. Father God, you give us that wisdom, Lord, as we draw closer to you, Lord, and we hear from you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We pray for those that are here, Lord, those that may be listening, Lord. Father God, through YouTube or whatever, Father God, we just pray for their homes. We pray for peace in their homes. We thank you for your healing touch in their lives, Father God. We thank you for your transformation power, the renewal of our minds, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that we are alive in you, Lord Jesus. And Father God, we thank you and give you honor and glory always in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.